Now I'm going to go to John Brook. He is our director for Europe, Russia, and the Middle East. And he's based in Brussels, and he'll be giving you an update on that region of the world.
Thank you very much, Joe. So I'm going to start just a little, go backwards a little bit in time in Russia. So I think at the last press call we had in May, we were in the position that we were since February 2013, where Russia had effectively put in place a ban for a product which had come from animals treated with ractopamine, and so we had no beef or pork shipments to Russia. And then we developed this ractopamine-free program for Russia, and some shipments of pork started again in May, and it was going very, very nicely and growing very fast. And then, unfortunately, of course, this political embargo came into effect. So it's very unfortunate, because it was clear that the US industry was ready to provide the product, which Russia was willing to accept, and that business looked like it had plenty of potential. So the situation today, it seems very clear that it would not be realistic to expect any significant change in the overall political position today. We are, of course, ready if there was to be a change in that situation. The Russian HRI sector, the restaurants in particular, are desperate to receive quality product, quality beef particularly. They no longer have supply from the United States, from Europe, from Australia, and that limits very, very much what they can do in at the top end of the quality range of the market. So if there was to be an easing of the situation, then I think we would have no problem at all getting US beef moving again to that sector. But to be realistic, it's going to take some time probably. In the meantime, we're redeploying our resources a bit. So throughout, from now on and through next year, we have a plan now to cover and explore, and in those countries where there's already business going on, to enhance that business throughout the whole of the greater Russian region. So we've actually put together a program with our two employees in Moscow and St. Petersburg, who will be traveling extensively throughout the whole of the greater Russian region, throughout all the Stan countries. The Russian economy has been very much affected by the embargo. The ruble has dropped now by some 30%. The dollar price, the oil price, of course, now is falling as well. And that is having a significant impact both on the prospects for the overall Russian economy and, of course, the cost of living for the average Russian. But we must never underestimate the capacity of the Russian people to bear with hardship, and I don't think we will really expect to see any great change in that. The Sovereign Reserve Fund of Russia has sufficient resources to see them through for some time. I move on to the Middle East. So I just mentioned oil. So again, in the countries that are doing business with US beef in the Gulf region, despite the drop in the oil price, if it is not presenting any problem for the economies or for consumer demand, again, all those countries, the oil exporters, have sovereign wealth funds which they can dip into with a reduced oil price. And what we're seeing throughout this year and what we expect to continue to see in that region is the steady growth that we've talked about before now for the last 2-3 years of both the retail sector and the dining sector, the family dining restaurants in particular, who are very, very loyal clients for US beef, and we're seeing reasonable steady growth in that area. Egypt's a little bit different. Egypt has, of course, gone through now 2.5 years of political change. Egypt's economy has struggled and is surviving for the time being on handouts from their neighbors and from the Gulf countries. And the cost, the high price of US beef and the cattle price in the United States today has severely impacted the muscle cut business that had been developing very nicely in Egypt. And we've seen a big drop off, effectively, the cost of the round cuts, which the United States was selling to Egypt, has gone up so much that that business has more or less stopped. In the meantime, of course, the much bigger market, the liver market, has continued to grow in Egypt. And Egypt needs that protein-rich product. We are facing one or two questions about market access in Egypt, but we think that that will not pose any particular problems. To move on to the European Union, so, as I've said before, at the last press call, it's just remarkable to see how the demand for US beef has remained so robust in Europe despite the ever-increasing cost. And it's not just the absolute cost of US beef which has been increasing, but it's also been the premium of US beef compared to other supplies from other origins, be it domestic production or South American beef. So I am really impressed by the way in which the US exporters and the EU importing clients have built this business over the last years. There is now a core niche of consumers in the European Union who are completely loyal to this product. I wouldn't perhaps go as far as to say that they would buy it at any price, but just to see the price differentials, some of our loin cuts from the United States are selling in the European Union at premiums which can be 60, 80% higher, sometimes even double the price of the same piece of meat. But of course, it's not the same quality, and it's above all this consistency of quality of US beef which has made this market so successful. That said, we are facing a problem in the European Union with getting more beef into the market because, as you remember, we have this duty-free beef quota resulting from a negotiation between the United States and the European Union back in 2009. But this duty-free beef quota is open to other origins than the United States. And up until now, there was always some room available in the quota. It had not been fully utilized each year. But now this quota, which is managed on a quarterly basis, we've seen full utilization in the first quarter of this year, and it's clear that there will be full utilization throughout the coming year, each quarter, and that presents problems for the importers on, first of all, managing the timing of their business, because if there are periods where there's no import quota available, then they can't bring the meat into the market. The alternative is to import under the previously existing Hilton quota, but that carries a 20% customs duty. And these containers, a container of US beef going to Europe is worth $250,000 today. 20% of $250,000 is a great deal of money, and it's way, way, way beyond the margin. And talking about the margin, just recently now, we've seen since the end of the summer that the euro has declined by around 10% against the US dollar, and that is again impacting greatly the profitability. So we are, I would say, we're in a slightly defensive position in Europe. Our job at the minute is to try to help the European importer and distributor increase the value of the whole of the carcass that is bringing into Europe. So all of our events are dedicated to trying to encourage chefs to use other cuts than the traditional ribeye and strip loins in their restaurants in order to increase the value that they can get from that, enabling them to continue to pay the high price necessary to the supplying company. So Phil touched on TTIP. So obviously in the longer term, we see TTIP as a great possibility to increase trade between the United States and Europe in our agricultural products. So far we've had 7 rounds of negotiation on TTIP, and the matters which interest our sector, agriculture and meat, basically have not really been a part of those rounds so far. We tend to look at this very, you know, we're looking very closely at our sector, at meat and agriculture. Maybe we're not so aware of what's going on in the wider picture of TTIP, and of course there are some very, very big interests in services, in banking, financial services, investment, and many industrial sectors. So the question will be, as TTIP advances and as these other sectors advance, at what stage will agriculture be on board or not, as the case will be? And I will stop there.